Let's pray, and then we'll look at this topic of sleep in the Bible. Our Father, we thank you for the second coming of Christ. Lord, we look forward to your return, and help us as we look into your word tonight and see this topic of sleep and what you have to say about it and what happens when people are sleeping and so many scriptures related to this. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts concerning this. Lord, we look forward to this coming week, the day being the first day of the week, and the opportunities will come our way. We never know what a day holds, but help us in this new week that you've given to us, that we might be faithful to you, we might share a witness for Christ, and Lord, that we would be a blessing to others in the week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. First of all, sleep revives the body. You know, we all need sleep there. Our bodies are made so that they pretty much know when to sleep. Now, sometimes they might sleep when we shouldn't be sleeping, but if you go long enough and try to go, I remember whenever I was in college and seminary, especially after Kelly was born and I was still in school, and my wife was obviously home with Kelly. I said, how in the world am I going to go through school and be able to afford this family? And so I was already working a job at Leggett from noon until 9, working full-time, and so I had classes from 7 to about 11:45, and then I'd hit the road and go to go to Leggett and work and get off at 9, then I would do my studying until late in the evening, and then I needed to work another job when that came, so I had a job working at Winn-Dixie buffing the floors because they, in those days, they closed at 9. They didn't stay open all night like stores do now. So I got off at 9 and went and changed clothes and went to Winn-Dixie and buffed their floors for a couple, 3 hours, and then I'd go home and study. And there were some nights where I worked and studied and it was time for class the next morning, and I hadn't even gone to bed, you know. And I couldn't do that now. But back in those days when I was in my 20s, you know, I could do that kind of stuff there. But after doing it a couple of times, my body would say, you can't do that anymore. You got to go to sleep. And so our bodies are made that way. And sleep is like a doctor. You know, it heals many wounds and weary souls. And so we're just weary and weary. We go to sleep and sometimes you wake up and you feel a lot better and the problems are gone, and sometimes you wake up and, hey, the problems are still there. Not only is sleep a doctor, but sometimes, you know, it's like a medicine as well. Well, there are a lot of medicines today, aren't there? Drugs that are given to help people to sleep. But for a person who is spiritually healthy in mind and spirit, we really don't need a drug to sleep. Here's something that just speaks to my heart. God's peace rocks the cradle for the spiritually healthy. You think about the Lord Jesus as an example. He was the most spiritually healthy person that ever walked the earth. He never sinned. And so remember when Jesus in Matthew 8:24 says, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And so he wasn't worried about the storm there. He was able to sleep there. Maybe he had gone several nights as well without going to bed. But God gives us sleep. He allows us to have peace even in the midst of a storm. So let's look at these 10 things. Sleep is a gift to all. It's not just to the rich and famous. Now, the rich and famous might have some things in the world that other people don't have. And I'm not going to share all the verses, but with this one I have three. Ecclesiastes 5:12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. And so a person who has so much, sometimes they worry. Somebody's going to break in and steal all the riches that I have. Well, if you don't have that much, you're not going to be so worried about losing everything there. But when we work and labor as God has designed man to labor, he allows us to sleep at night. And as we sometimes say, sweet dreams. Well, we go to bed and we have sweet sleep because we have labored for the Lord. Proverbs 3:24 says, when thou liest down, Thou shalt not be afraid, yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. And we like to sleep. Now, we shouldn't like to sleep too much, and we'll address that in a little bit as well. But isn't it a wonderful thing that we can lie down after a day's work and go to sleep and not live in fear? And there's some verses having to do with that as well. Then one more concerning being a gift to all. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And so he is here in prison, bound, but he's still sleeping. Not too good of circumstances, not exactly a Holiday Inn or any other kind of hotel, but he's asleep there because he had labored and he had peace with God, and it was a gift from God that he was able to sleep even there in the jail. Number two, inability to sleep has a purpose. Have there ever been nights where you couldn't sleep? Well, there are several in the scriptures. In Daniel 6:18, the king, Darius, he went to his palace. He passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. And so God had a purpose for Darius. Here was Daniel in the lion's den, you know, and just like Peter in jail, Daniel wasn't concerned about the lions there. He had peace, just like Jesus had in the midst of the ship during the storm. And the purpose here is so he could pray, because here he is fasting, and he had had to place Daniel in the lion's den, and now he is fasting and praying. Sometimes when God keeps you up, or he keeps me up, maybe he wants us to pray. And sometimes whenever we start praying, God brings things to our mind, maybe people to our minds, that we haven't thought of in years. But God will bring them to our mind because he keeps us up so that we can pray for them. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to pray for others. And usually that will help us get to sleep if that's the case. Well, there's another one in Esther, another king, Ahasuerus. On that night, he could not sleep. He commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And you remember the story in the book of Esther there. And what was the purpose in his not being able to sleep? Well, God wanted to reward Mordecai for what he had done. And so he kept Ahasuerus up, and the story goes on, and then Mordecai is later rewarded there. And so God may keep us awake at night because he wants us to pray. God may keep us awake at night because there's something he wants to reveal to us where we can be a blessing or an encouragement to someone else, like the king was to Mordecai. And then there's another one, one more, in Daniel. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. And so why couldn't he sleep? We've already seen that there was one purpose, was to get us to pray. Another purpose where God wants to give a reward or a blessing to someone. But here it was to show God's plan. And God's plan here in Daniel 2, he gave this dream to Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel interpreted the dream. It showed how Christ would come and set up a world rule in the last days. It had the head of gold and all the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed. Remember, he went to his wise men and he said, I dreamed a dream. Tell me what the dream was and then give me the interpretation. And they said, well, king, that's unreasonable. You tell us what the dream is and we'll tell you what it means. And he said, anybody could make up what it means, but you tell me what the dream was. And Daniel, of course, knew the dream. And God had a purpose to show that God's plan was for Christ to come and to set up a kingdom there. And we've sung about the second coming. Now, another thing about sleep, too much sleep is laziness. In Proverbs 6, it says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard, lazy one? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, and so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. And so God warns about being lazy. God wants us to be diligent. He doesn't want us sleeping all the time. Proverbs 20:13 says, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. And so we know that the body needs sleep. God has made the body so that we can get sleep. But we also know that too much sleep is laziness. Those verses in Proverbs 6 are repeated again in Proverbs 24. Get a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and poverty will come. And so we don't want to sleep our lives away, because then negative things will happen. And so don't sleep too much. But too little sleep is foolish. Psalm 127, verse 2 says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. And so there are times where we might have to work throughout the night and not sleep for 24 hours or a little bit longer. But we can't continue to do that. We have to remember that the body is the temple of the Lord. And just as we have to be careful about other things that we take into the body, we also need to remember that this body is where God lives. And so we need to make sure that we get the right amount of sleep. So not too much, not too little, everything in moderation, as we say. And so the body needs sleep. Well, let's move on to number 5. There are some special events that happen in the scriptures. And special events can happen while we're sleeping. Let's look at a couple of them. Way back in Genesis, the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And here, while Adam is sleeping, God takes from him a rib, and he creates woman there. What a wonderful event. God, the way he did this, that she is a part of man and taken right from the rib, near the heart there. And God did this while Adam was sleeping. Well, think about Samuel. In 1 Samuel 3, it says, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, Samuel was laid down to sleep. Remember, and he was sleeping there, and God spoke to him. And he goes to Eli, and he says, what do you want? And Eli said, I didn't call for you. And he does that several times, and Eli said, it's the Lord. Whenever he speaks again, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And so God spoke to him because God had a plan for him to do something. And sometimes the Lord may speak to us, not like I'm speaking to you, we understand, because the scriptures are complete, but God speaks through his word, and he speaks through his Holy Spirit. And as we listen to the Lord, special events can take place, and God has a purpose for us, just as he did for Samuel. Not exactly the same thing as Samuel, but God has a plan for us. Number 6. It is dangerous to sleep in the tent of the enemy. Remember the story of Sisera, the captain of the Canaanites? In Judges chapter 4, it says, and he, Sisera, he said to her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, is there any man here? Thou shalt say no. Then Jael, that was the woman there in the tent, Heber's wife, she took a nail of the tent, and she took a hammer in her hand. She went softly unto him, and she smote the nail into his temples and fastened it to the ground. Now, you understand when it says a nail here, it's not talking about a nail like we use for a 2x4. These are talking about tent stakes. And so she comes over, and here is Sisera sleeping. Now, he has been fighting with the Canaanites against God's people. And it's a dangerous thing for people to fight against God and His people. And we see a lot of persecution and attacks on Christianity today, don't we? But those people are in the same camp with Sisera. Their time is coming. And while he was sleeping there, Jael comes along and fastens his head to the ground. I mean, I just try to picture this in my mind. And sometimes I find some humorous things in Scripture, and you may too, because after that happens, those last three words, "So he died." Well, yeah, I guess he did. You know, he had his head fastened to the ground there. And so those who oppose God and are fighting against God and his people, as Sisera and the Canaanites were doing, and for us, as we look at Sisera here sleeping in the tent, it's dangerous for us as God's people to be, quote, sleeping in the tent of the enemy. It's a dangerous thing for us to not come out from among them and be separate, as the Lord says there. And so we're careful where we sleep there. Well, number seven, there are some tragic events, and even some not totally tragic, that can happen while sleeping. Well, in Judges chapter 16, we see one. This is Delilah. She fastened it, that is Samson's hair, with the pin. And she said to him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awaked out of his sleep, and he went away with the pin of the beam and with the web there. And here he is sleeping, and while he is sleeping, Delilah is conniving there with the Philistines to put him to death there. And so it's a tragic thing. It's what's happening with Samson. Well, in 1 Samuel 26, 7, so David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster at the head of where he was sleeping. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Now, here they all are sleeping. And here comes David and Abishai walking in between the people as they're sleeping. And God had really put a deep sleep on these people. I mean, they're sleeping very soundly, like I normally do. In 1989, when Hugo came through and that tree fell on our house, no, it didn't wake me up. I found about it the next morning, you know. When I go to sleep, I'm really out. I'm sort of like Saul was here. And so Abishai says there, "Do you want me to smite him there?" And so some tragic things can happen while we're sleeping. Whenever we wake up the next morning, we don't know what's going to have happened while we're asleep. I don't know if you have a habit of reading the paper or reading the news on the internet to see what happened during the night. We just don't know what might happen during the night. Well, in Acts chapter 20, over in the New Testament, there sat in a window a certain man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sank down with sleep. He fell down from the third loft, and he was taken up dead. Well, you can look at this in two different ways. You could say it's a dangerous thing to go to sleep while the preacher's preaching, or you could say long preaching is dangerous. Don't do it there. Well, here he is, and of course they go and they raise him up here. And so as we look at all the people sleeping in the Old and New Testament, well, there's a time to avoid sleep altogether. Notice what David said in Psalm 132. "I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob." Now, God did not have it in his plan for David to build the temple. God had it in his plan for Solomon to build the temple. But David wanted to do that, and he had a purpose, and he's had a goal. He says, "I'm not going to stop until I get this thing done. And so sometimes we need that determination as well, that we're not going to quit until the job that God has laid on our heart is complete. Well, over in Luke chapter 22, verse 45 and 46, it says, when he arose from prayer, he was come to his disciples. This, of course, is Jesus. He found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. There. And here was Jesus going to God in prayer, because it wasn't going to be long until he's going to be crucified. And there are some things that are so serious and demand our attention that we need to stay awake longer to pray and not to fall asleep like the disciples did. Well, look at Jonah and Jonah chapter 1. The shipmaster came to Jonah and he said to him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Sleepyhead would be what we would say. Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Now here's Jonah, and there's a storm going on, and he is sound asleep. Well, we saw Jesus in a ship, and he was sound asleep, and Jesus was spiritual. He was right with God. Jonah wasn't. And so there are times when people can have a false sense of security there. And here's Jonah running from God. And even though he's running from God, he thinks everything's okay. But later he finds out that it's not there. And so this was not a time for Jonah to be sleeping, because of his disobedience, everyone in the ship was about to be affected by his disobedience. And whenever we are disobedient to the Lord, it doesn't just affect us. It affects other people around us as well. Number 9, God's word protects us while we are sleeping. That's in Proverbs 6:22. When thou goest, it, that is God's word, shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. God's word, whenever we wake up in the morning, God's word speaks to us. Whenever we're walking and going our way, God's word leads us. And those two things on the front end and the latter end are required in order for that one in the middle. When we sleep, God's word will keep us. If we're walking according to God's word in the day, and whenever we get up, we're looking into God's word, according to Proverbs 6:22, keeps us at night. And so whenever we go to bed at night, we have God's word, and God's word is powerful. God's word keeps us and protects us there. 1 Samuel 26:8. And then said Abishai to David, this is the same passage we saw earlier when they walk into the camp, but it's a verse later than what we saw. We saw verse 7 before. Abishai said, David, God has delivered thine enemy into thy hand this day. Now, therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear even to the earth at once. And then here's another thing I find a little humorous. He says, I'll not smite him the second time. I'll only kill him once, I guess. He's saying there, I just want it one time. I just want to smite him to the ground. And what did David say to Abishai? He said, we're not going to lift our hand against God's anointed. And that is from God's word. David went on to say in the next verse, you don't need to do that, Abishai, because the Lord's going to smite him. Or the Lord will cause him to die naturally, but God's going to take care of it. We don't need to take matters into our own hands. And so David knew the word of God, and by using the word of God, it protected Saul, even though Saul was out to get David there. And David was teaching Abishai that the word of God is important. It protects us even while we're sleeping. And number 10, as we look at sleep, There is a sleep of spiritual negligence in the Bible. In Mark chapter 13, it says, "Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping." And this has to do with the Lord coming back. And we need to watch and be ready for the Lord's return. We sang the songs about the Lord coming back. And here it says, he's going to come. And we don't want to be spiritually sleeping when the Lord comes back. We certainly don't want to be sleeping in the enemy's tent when the Lord comes back. We want to be spiritually mature and spiritual and walking with the Lord. Romans 13 continues this thought. "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Just a word about that salvation being nearer. If we're saved instantaneously, the moment we trust Christ, then how can our salvation be nearer? And we understand, as I've shared with you many times, that salvation has three phases to it: justification, sanctification, and glorification. And any time we see the word salvation in the scripture, we have to look at the context and see, is he talking about justification when he saved my spirit in the past? Is he talking about sanctification, the work of salvation in the present with my soul? Or is he talking about glorification, the salvation of my body in the future? And it's obvious that glorification is in view here. For now, our glorification, it's closer, isn't it? Glorification is closer than it was when I got saved, when I was 9 years old. And so the Lord is coming. When I first believed, the Lord's coming was imminent. The Lord's coming is still imminent, and it's closer now than it was. And one more verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. He says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." There. The Lord is coming. We've sung the hymns about the Lord's coming tonight. We don't want to be spiritually sleeping when the Lord comes again. We don't want to be slack. The Lord may come before the eclipse tomorrow, and everybody will miss it. There. We're going to see something greater, aren't we, if the Lord comes back before then. Can you imagine tomorrow at the time of the eclipse when everybody is looking up into the heavens, if the Lord would come back right then? Wouldn't that be an amazing thing there? It's going to be an amazing thing no matter when he comes there. Jesus is coming. We don't know when, but we don't want to be negligent in our walk with the Lord, because it could be in any moment. When the Lord comes, will he find us awake spiritually and diligently serving him faithfully? And hopefully he will find us watching and praying and ready for his return. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God and for how it speaks to our hearts. Lord, help us to take these verses about sleep, apply them to our lives. Father, thank you for the rest that you give to us through sleep.